WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Memphis has been a crossroads of musical traditions, urban and rural, black and white. You can hear them coming together in the music of Memphis-based guitarist and singer Sid Selvage. He draws from classic blues, Appalachian folk, and rock and roll. He's performed with blues greats Furry Lewis and Fred McDowell, and has played many times at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. He's recorded several solo albums, is a member of the band Mudboy and the Neutrons, and is featured on the recent CD anthology It Came From Memphis. Selvage is the senior producer of a new public radio program which begins next week called Beale Street Caravan, produced by the Blues Foundation. We asked Sid Selvage to bring his guitar and play and talk about his music.
This is a song by Charlie Jordan called Keep It Clean. Well, I went to the river and I couldn't get across. Jumped on your pappy cause I thought it was a horse. Yeah, it's a rolling mower, gamma cocoa, lumber soda, chocolate ice cream. Take soap and water, try to keep it clean. Got a face like an owl, a mouth like a goat. Every time I see me, know it, looking for some coke. Yeah, it's a rolling mower, gamma cocoa, lumber soda, chocolate ice cream. Take soap and water, try to keep it clean. If you want to get to heaven when you D-I-E, put on your collar, your T-I-E, yes, rolling over, gamma Coca-Cola, lumber soda, chocolate ice cream, take soap and water, try to keep it clean. If you want to get the rabbit out of L-O-G, whoo, you got to get the noise out of D-O-G, yes, yes, rolling over, gamma Coca-Cola, lumber soda, chocolate ice cream, take soap and water, try to keep it clean. Well, I went to the river and I couldn't get across. Jumped on your pappy cause I thought it was a horse. Yeah, it's a rolling mower, gamma Coca-Cola, lumber soda, chocolate ice cream. Take soap and water, try to keep it clean.
Sid Selvage, where'd you learn the song?
I don't know. I guess I learned it off a record. You know, a lot of the material I learned off of records that were reissued in the 60s on Yazoo and labels such as that. And most of it's now available on CD. That doesn't sound anything like Charlie Jordan's version of it. And, in fact, the second two verses are actually, I picked those up from Furry Lewis in the 60s. So, but, you know, all those verses were used interchangeably in a lot of songs. So in that respect, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, you know, substituting one verse in somebody else's song.
You grew up near the Mississippi Delta, or in the Mississippi Delta.
In the Mississippi Delta, yes.
But in a suburb, right?
No. Uh-huh. It's Greenville, Mississippi is right on the river. My father's laundry was right on a lake that opens up into the river, and as a young child, I worked for Hiding Carter's radio station, which is also close by the river. It was named, the name of the station was WDDT, which did not stand for cotton poison. It stood for their newspaper, which was the Delta Democrat Times.
What kind of show did you do?
I started off as a teenage disc jockey. They were going to go into pop format, and they got me to do that. And then my voice matured quite early, so they had me. Actually, I learned all my Frank Sinatra, Nat Cole, and things like that. Working after school, it was a sunrise to sunset AM station, and so after a while I'd open up and close up the station, and it was a very enjoyable experience.
Did you play black and white performers?
No, well, I played Nat Cole. and actually got in trouble with the local population. I didn't make much distinction between the people I was playing. They were all musicians and singers to me, and I made the mistake one Sunday afternoon. I was there, and we had to lock the doors on Sunday afternoon because only the disc jockey was there. And I made the this was in the 50s. People have to understand this. I made the mistake of saying, "This is Mr. Nat King Cole," after a Nat Cole song, and my telephones lit up, and people came down and started beating on the doors. And it was not a large crowd, but it was enough to scare me, and I had to call Mr. Carter to come get me out of the studio so I could go home. And I don't know, you know, it was a kind of a revelation to me. I hadn't thought much about race relations one way or the other at that point.
What were the people saying who called up?
Well, that I couldn't call a black man Mister. It was not done in the South and in the Delta at the time. I love the region of the country I come from, and I love the people. And this is not to cast aspersions upon them, but that's just the way it was at the time. It was the culture at the time, and I was pretty well insulated from it by my parents and grandparents. But in certain circles, that was just something that wasn't done.
Well, growing up on the Mississippi Delta, did you feel connected to the tradition of Delta blues?
No, not at all. It's interesting. And a lot of people didn't. One of my main influences was a singer that sang with a bunch of postmen, African-American postmen from Vicksburg, Mississippi, and he was very much in the Sam Cooke tradition. His name was Rufus McKay, and they had a band called the Red Tops, and they played at all the dances, and he was my hero. In fact, I think there's a song on one of my records, Danny Boy, please don't ask me to do that right now, but that he did at the end of each dance, you know, the Robert Burns song, and it was just gorgeous, and he had this gorgeous voice, and so I was much more influenced by him than I was Elvis or anybody else. We picked up our blues, actually, driving up and down Highway 61 and Highway 1 in the Delta and across on 49, listening to WLAC out of Nashville, which was a 50,000-watt all-directional channel. So we would listen to people like Gene Nobles and John R. and the Hoss Man, and they played Delta people who were, for the most part, then residing in Chicago when they were playing electric music, people like Muddy Waters, Jimmy Reed, that sort of thing. And I had no clue that it was, you know, right there in my backyard. My grandfather would take a knife sometime and run it on my guitar to show me what, you know, certain people that he had heard did. But it was sounded so awful, I didn't want to do anything like that. I mean, my grandfather couldn't play guitar. And so I never connected until I got to Furry Lewis, who was a Memphis musician, and then all of a sudden I said, golly, these people, you know, right in my own backyard.
Well, tell us something about Furry Lewis and what he was like, what he was playing when he was rediscovered during the folk revival of the early 60s.
Okay, he was rediscovered in 1959, and he put out a record for Folkways. And I came upon him in 1961 or 1962 when I was a student and was playing in a coffee house. And some folks had come down from up east, John Fahey and another fellow, and they were looking for a lot of old blues guys. And I thought he was old at the time. He was in his 60s. He was certainly very much a gentleman. His house was always open. He indulged us little white children very much, but it just wasn't musicians and kids coming in that he indulged. Postmen, black and white postmen, used to come over there for lunch on a regular basis, and they had no connection with the music business or anything else. They were just friends. He had a kind of a sunshiny spirit without being anywhere, an Uncle Tom or anything like that, which one could have been a blues man at that period that swept the streets for the city of Memphis on one good leg and a prosthesis. Could have been a minstrel character if he'd wanted to be and to get work during that period, and he wasn't. He was a very dignified man, and I admired him very much.
Were there any interesting cultural clashes that you were a witness to when there were other young white musicians like you in Memphis who were connecting to older African-American musicians like Furry Lewis and Fred McDowell?
Well, cultural clashes are—it's kind of difficult to look at. I mean, we all admired the music so much. I never had any idea that when I was singing these songs that I was singing with the experience and the soul of the person that wrote them. I mean, those were quite different experiences, and I was just trying to sing the song. So, but it is, if you think about these young white, at the time, 18 and 19 and 20-year-old people trying to sing this black material, it's very much the same thing that somebody like Eric Clapton did. He experienced the same thing, and so did the Rolling Stones. They just admired the music so much, and their cultural backgrounds didn't have anything to do with where the music came from.
Now, that's the difference between you and them, because your cultural background had something to do with where the music came from. You grew up on the Mississippi Delta.
Exactly. I was on one side of the equation, so to speak. And so, actually, I did absorb some of the cultural overlay, the manners and that sort of thing, which obtained between the races. But I knew very little about black culture. In that period, I only knew what I saw on the surface in those places where the races mixed. And we were taught to be very polite and respectful, but as we went along our business, but it was indicated to us very clearly that we were separate. And so I really didn't know anything about black culture. I ran into it in the 60s, like a lot of people did, when it started amalgamating with the dominant culture.
My guest is guitarist and singer Sid Selvidge. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Memphis-based singer and guitarist Sid Selvidge. Did you ever go through a period of trying to be black, to sound black, to act?
Yeah, I think so, sure. I mean, any person that's learning does. When I was young, sure. You know, and then I was reading somewhere, that blues is not an emotive sort of, it's more of a stand back and look at it type of music. And here I was, emoting like a little Scotsman out of the hills. And so I got my comeuppance real early. But, and with that,
From who?
just from reading, and not from anyone in particular. It might have been Pete Seeger that said that, but I stopped trying to. I don't try to sound like a black man. I've been accused of it, and a lot of people try to put me in the category of a blues singer, and I'm not a blues singer. I'm a folk singer. And so I just admire the music, and I'm Southern, so my diction comes out to a lot of people sounding bluesy. And I try to be faithful to the material, certainly, but I stopped trying to copy it early on.
Well, I'd like you to do what I guess we could call a folk song. It's, I think, a field song, and
yes.
It's the boll weevil song. And you do this so wonderfully. It really shows
off
your falsetto.
I must tell you, though, I do it rubato, as the musical term says, rather than as a work song. Usually has a cadence to it, and if anybody had to count on me for time to get their work done, they would be out of luck. So I'll give it a whirl here. How's that?
That's good.
Hey, hey, boll weevil, where's your native home? Way down in bottom, among a cotton and corn, among a cotton and corn, among a cotton and corn, way down in bottom, among a cotton and corn. First time I seen a boll weevil sitting on that square. Next time I seen him, I had his family there. I had his family there. I had his family there. Next time I seen him, I had his family there. Hey, hey, boll weevil, where's your native home? Way down in bottom, among a cotton and corn, among a cotton and corn, among a cotton and corn, way down in bottom,
Monge Cotton Call.
Now, how did you start developing your falsetto?
I don't know. I guess, I was a Cowboy fan. I listened to Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and people like that. And I must tell you, Roy Rogers is one of the finest yodelers that ever existed. I mean, and then later on, during the folk period when I started, you know, coming of age, I certainly learned the material of Jimmy Rogers and the Blue Yodeler. And I've always thought that you should, you know, I've had the range in my voice. I was fortunate enough to have that kind of built into my system. And so I've always enjoyed using it.
Actually, you should do a chorus of a song with a yodel in it. You have a real nice yodel.
Well, I tell you what we can do. It's not really a yodel song, but... I'll try this. Got a feeling 'cause I'm blue. I'm so lonesome I could cry. Don't know what I'm gonna do. All I do is sit and cry. Oh Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Oh Lord, I thought I would die. She do ya, she do me. She got the kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear it when she calls me sweet and baby. What a beautiful dream. I hate to think it's all over. I lost my heart, it seems. I've grown used to that girl somehow, and I'm nobody's sugar baby now. Well, I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick and blue.
Oh, real nice. That's Sid Selvidge. And he's a musician based in Memphis. And in fact, he's producing a public radio series on the blues called Beale Street Caravan that will begin in October on many public radio stations. Tell us something about the show and what you're trying to do with it.
Well, it's a magazine format that encompasses all of the blues. It's just not from Memphis. It's Memphis-based, and we look upon it as exporting art. We're funded by philanthropists in the city, as well as the Arts Council there and the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And so it's seen by the civic leaders there as exporting our indigenous art form, but we certainly encompass the Piedmont style and in Chicago and all the various new and seminal styles of the blues. We go around to festivals and record, and then it's in a magazine format. We have feature hosts such as Jerry Wexler and John Hammond and Tracy Nelson and Keb Moe talking about what they know best, not every time, but, you know, on various programs.
Well, Sid Selvidge, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you,
really
Terry.
Appreciate it. I enjoyed it a lot.
It's been a lot of fun.
Sid Selvidge is a Memphis-based musician. He's the senior producer of the new public radio blues series, Beale Street Caravan, which begins next week. His latest solo album is called Twice Told Tales. Thanks to Gibson Guitar Company for lending Selvidge a J200 guitar for his performance on our show.